Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
So let's take a look at becoming a house of prayer. I want to read some scriptures and then just make some comments and talk a little bit about what does it mean for us to be a house of prayer. Matthew 21, 12 through 13 out of the Passion says, "Upon entering Jerusalem, Jesus went directly into the temple area and drove away all the merchants who were buying and selling their goods. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the stands of those selling doves. And he said to them, 'My dwelling place will be known as a house of prayer, but you have made it into a hangout for thieves.'" Just hanging out with thieves. The word there for merchants is poleo, and it is to barter, to sell, or the sellers. To overthrow is to overturn. The word is actually catastrepho, which when I looked at it, I thought of catartismo. Catartismo is the word for alignment of being in proper positioning. Catastrepho makes me go, okay, everything is out of order, out of alignment, disjointed, scattered. God is wanting to move us out of being disjointed, disconnected, out of an alignment into proper alignment with heaven so that through the house of prayer, God will have a people who hear from heaven and declare and decree what he's saying. We need an authentic altar. We need a place where heaven meets earth. We need a place of habitation where the pleasure of the Lord abides, and we are moving in the pleasure of the Lord, doing the bidding of heaven. See, there are certain things God won't do from heaven without a people on earth saying what he's saying. This whole concept of God will do what God will do is a religious concept that's not rooted in the Word of God. God formed man, placed him on the earth so that he would have a representation on earth of his government, of his rule, of his reign, so that what he desires out of heaven, out of his throne, out of his government, he has an ambassadorship, an embassy here on the earth to execute it. He gave authority to man. The whole concept of God is in control. Can we kick it to the curb, please? If God was in control, a lot of things would not be happening the way they're happening. God, in his wisdom and in his sovereignty, to have a family on the earth that carried his authority, he pulls his authority back. He says, "I'm giving it to you." That's why he says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom." Why would we need the keys of the kingdom if he's going to do it all? He needs a people that choose to trust Jesus, be born again of the Spirit, to come in to the place of authentic relationship as sons and daughters of the Most High God, who is the King of all the universe. And as King's kids, as those, let's take it a step further, the bride of Christ. How many wives do we have in the room? Can you sign your husband's checks? Because they're in both your names. We have that kind of authority. Come on. When you start making it practical, but see, here's what's happened. We've been going, "I can't sign the check." And God's going, "If you don't sign the check, the check's not getting signed. if you don't make the decision's not being made. He says, I've made it. I've given you ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, right? I've given you my word to express what I want. I've revealed to you my will, my ways, and my word. Now then, move and make decisions based on what I've said. Y'all looking at me like, really? This is for real, the gospel of the kingdom. That's why Jesus didn't come preaching the gospel of salvation. He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And most of us were raised under the gospel simply of salvation. The gospel of the kingdom includes salvation that is mandatory, necessary. You cannot enter into the kingdom without salvation. But the end goal isn't salvation. The end goal is not avoiding hell. God's purpose for bringing us into salvation is so that he has representation on the earth to bring heaven to earth. We've been tolerating too much hell around us and saying we don't have any choice. Yes, we do. We've got to, that's why in this decade of the mouth, of pay, we've got to learn how to use what comes out of our mouth and to agree with heaven and not to agree with earth and the God of this age. See, we're having to learn how to guard our lips, watch our mouths, not say everything that we think. Hello. Sometimes that's a challenge. Anybody else have a challenge with that one? Like, ooh, didn't need to say that. But it's not just the words. We have to pay attention to the attitude that is coming through our words. Do you know that you can speak truth with a wrong attitude and with a wrong motivation and it's divination? That's a deep word right there. If you're speaking it in order to get an upper hand for yourself rather than to advance the kingdom, your motivation's wrong. God's putting a plumb line down. He is overthrowing the money changers. That word for money changers means a banker. Now, I don't really believe that Jesus was worried about the financial banking system right here. I think he was worried and concerned and overthrowing those that were merchandising worship, that were selling prophetic words. Every time I see one of these crazy folks get on Facebook and say, do you need a prophetic word? Send me an offering. I just want to... I do use my mouth to decree some things to overthrow some money changers. Because that's evil. That has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking about having a resource center so that you have books in your hand that you can grow mature. It's not about that. It's about merchandising for personal gain. It's about merchandising to gain a following. Do you know why there's some prophetic words out there that aren't real words? It's because they are prophesying to gain a following, because a following equals dollars. Those are money changers. I'm here to tell you, I heard from heaven, God's coming in to overthrow some money changers. Those that are watering down the gospel so that people will come and they won't feel convicted and they'll go, well, I can keep going doing whatever I want to do because, you know, it's okay. Jesus will forgive me. No. He will forgive you, but it comes with true repentance. Jesus said, repent and bear the fruit of repentance. I said to my granddaughter this weekend, because she said, I said, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, but you did it again. See, if you say you're sorry for something you did and you don't change your behavior, you're not really sorry. You didn't repent yet. You just got caught. Or you felt a little conviction, but not enough to cause you to change your behavior. The church has got to return to repentance. We can never be a house of prayer without true repentance. Because as long as we're pursuing having our own way, doing what we want, having everything go according to the way we want it, you won't ever pray. Not really. Because you'll be praying out of a selfish motivation to get things going your way. And we've all done it. I was in a difficult situation probably almost 30 years ago. Lord help me. And because I'm remembering the scenario. And the Lord said, why are you asking me to do that? Is it for them or is it for you? Is it to make your life easier? Or do you really want them free? That's motivation. I had to be really honest. Yeah, I want them free, but God, I'm tired of this. You know, he didn't get mad at me for being honest. He said, I needed you to see that. I needed you to see that. He's wanting us to get to a place where repentance is a lifestyle. That we live constantly turning. Because repentance isn't simply being sorry for what we did. Repentance is saying, oh, I just realized I'm walking in the opposite direction of where God wants me to go. In action, in word, in attitude, in everything. And you turn and begin to walk in His way. Culture right now is the antithesis of God's way. So if we're just simply going along with the way of the world, you're probably going to be counter to the kingdom of God. So we need to pay attention. What demonstrates the kingdom of God? What reflects the character of Christ? What demonstrates His nature, His character, and His authority on the earth? God's calling us to be a house of prayer, and it begins with repentance. It begins with getting rid of the money-changing attributes in our life. What are we doing what we do for? But there's liberty on the other side. When we repent and we get rid of the money-changing attributes of our life, there is such freedom. Because when you know God will take care of you because you're aligned with heaven, it unlocks the resources of heaven. And you're not worrying about it all the time. You can simply hear and obey. But if you're worrying about it all the time, you're trying to maneuver. Anybody else, when you get worried about something, you're trying to fix it all and you're trying to make sure? Well, God says, get rid of the worry. Trust me, listen, come into a place of peace. See, when we get into that place of union with the God of peace, then we hear. Lack of peace will keep you from hearing the voice of God. Chaos around you will blind you from being able to see what is God doing. What is God doing in our nation right now? There's all kinds of chaos. Step into that place of peace and say, God, I see what the chaos is, but what are you doing? That's why I can very clearly say to you, like I did earlier in the worship, yeah, there's chaos all around us, but God's doing something. God's allowing, actually, the chaos to wake some people up. So if you just look at the chaos, you're not going to be in peace. But if you press beyond the chaos to receive the peace of God and now look at the chaos and go, okay, God, chaos couldn't be going on if you weren't allowing it. Right? Because Satan, he's still God over Satan. He's still God over all of the demons. Now, part of it is because we haven't been doing what we're supposed to do. But part of it is he's saying, okay, I've still got some people over here that need a wake-up call. They need to see that what the radicals over here that have been saying is going on in the world, that people go, well, y'all are just too crazy. Y'all are too fanatical. Now they're beginning to see, oh, it really is happening. Right? It's happening. So there's an awakening going on that doesn't always look like what we thought awakening would look like. So see beyond the chaos and see what God's doing. God's doing something. Then when you see what God is doing, allow your prayers to come into an alignment with what God is doing. Pray, declare, decree what heaven is doing, and watch the chaos begin to part in front of you. But he's building a house. That word house is oikos. Now, we've been talking a lot about ecclesia, which is the governmental expression of the church, right? That's what Jesus said. I will build my ecclesia, my governmental ambassadorial embassy on earth, my legislative assembly, and whatever you bind will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loosed. But then in other places, he says, I'm going to build a house of prayer, and that is the word oikos, and it speaks of family. In the vernacular that I've been using around here, it's ecclesia and congregation. It's oikos. It's family. It's community. It's where you work it out in your relationships. See, he's going to build an oikos of what? A fellowship? An oikos of laughter? No, an oikos of prayer. Because here's the key. When you have a house of prayer, you have all the other. See, if the house is built on relationship with Christ, if the house, if the family, if the home is built on relationship with Jesus and prayer and that fellowship that comes around the altar of the Lord, then fun, fellowship, joy, laughter, peace, it's going to be a natural outflow. This has to be a house of prayer. This has to be a place where we pray, where we are set apart and offering prayer to the Lord. Now, probably as much as any place I know, we're a house of prayer. But God's saying, not enough yet. And it's not just for doing more. How many of you need prayer for your families? Your nuclear and your extended. Lord said to me this week, and I've got to sit down with some folks this week and figure out when is the appointed time, but we're going to start a prayer time for family. Where we gather to pray for our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, our parents, our brothers, our sisters. We've got to pray for our family. We've got to do it. So, you know, I'm just asking the Lord, okay, what is your appointed time? I don't want to come up with a time. I want his appointed time. Is it in person? Is it online? Is it a Zoom call? Is it a conference call? Is it a combination of both? But I know that if we're going to build a house of prayer for families has to be a priority. It has to be our first priority. Now, I want us to turn to Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. And I'm reading out of the Passion. Yahweh says to his people, promote the cause of justice. Do what is just and right. For soon my salvation will come and my righteousness will be unveiled. Blessed is the one who will faithfully keep his commitment. Yes, blessed is the one who honors the Sabbath and does not disregard it, and the one who keeps their hands from doing evil. Let me comment here. This is not just about keeping Sunday holy. This is about keeping a Sabbath rest in your life. This is about finding the rhythm of God. Now, because some people have to work on Sunday. And honestly, when you're looking at this scripture, it wouldn't have been Sunday anyway. It would have been Friday, 6 p.m., sunset till Saturday. Okay? So let's don't get hung up on that. But we all need to be taking a Sabbath rest. And our culture is anti-Sabbath rest. It's run, 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 run. Don't stop. But we need to be taking time, set apart time, to reflect on what has been in your previous week. Give thanks to it. Allow God to refresh your soul and begin to speak into you for the days that are ahead. Find your Sabbath rest. Typically, Monday is mine. Doesn't always work. So when it doesn't, I find another spot. Because God is not as much of a legalist as we are. I mean, he's just not. He's just saying, will you follow me in the rhythms of grace? Verse 3. The foreigner who joins himself to Yahweh should never say, because I'm a foreigner, Yahweh will exclude me from his people. And the eunuch should never say, because I can't have children, I'm just a barren tree. See, this was speaking to Jews. It was making a way and revealing that Gentiles were coming in. In this day, there really were eunuchs that in their servitude had the ability to have children taken away from them. But I want to apply this to anyone who has not had children, can't have children, or whatever, not married. This applies to you as well. See, you're not a barren tree. You belong in the house of prayer. You belong. You're part of the family. When Dutch was doing the Give Him 15 this week, and he started the whole post with talking about family and those who haven't had children or those that were divorced or widowed or all those things that he talked about. Your family is here. And even those of us who have family, this is family. This is family. Because we have one father. We have an older brother together. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're brothers and sisters in the family of God. And so they're not exclusive of each other. They interact and interrelate with each other. Another reason why we need prayer for family. Verse 4, for Yahweh says to such a man, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, in other words, to the eunuchs who honor the Lord, and choose the things that honor me and remain true to my covenant, I make this promise. I will bestow upon them within my household both an honored place and an honored name. Even better than the honor that comes from having children, I bestow upon them my everlasting favor. You will never be forgotten. I felt led to read that because I think some of you need to hear that. It's an honored place, and you'll never be forgotten. And to the foreigners who join themselves to Yahweh to worship him, those who want to be his servants and love the name of Yahweh, all who honor the Sabbath and do not disregard it, and who remain true to my covenant, I make this promise. Verse 7, I will welcome you into my holy mountain and make you joyful in the house of prayer. I will accept every sacrifice and offering that you place on my altar, for my house of worship will be known as a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God Almighty, who brings home the outcast of Israel, says, there are many others I will gather, and I will add them to those who are already gathered. becoming a house of prayer the way God intended is a key to the harvest. It's a key to restoration for those who have lost, those who have suffered, those who have never had increase in their life. The house of prayer is a place that when other areas of life have seemed completely devoid of blessing, God brings you into the house of prayer and says, I'm going to make you joyful here in the fellowship of my company, in the fellowship of my people. For where you've not had family, I'm giving you family. I've taken the solitude, those that are alone, and I'm bringing you into a household of faith. I'm bringing you into a place of family. I'm bringing you into a place of belonging. I'm bringing you into a place of covenant. Because one of the greatest things about the covenant of family is the power of agreement. And when you come into the house of prayer, we come into a place of covenantal agreement. And when two or three agree on anything as touching, believing, asking God for it in the name of Jesus, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think or imagine. So even if you don't have someone that you can pray with in agreement in your nuclear family or even your extended family, you can come into the house of faith, into the family of God, come into the house of prayer in a place of faith and joy, touch and agree by covenant and watch God do the miraculous. This is what God wants. Jesus repeated this passage in all four Gospels. Do you know that that is rarely recorded? A lot of the things that Jesus said, it would be recorded in one or two, but this one, my house will be called a house of prayer, is in all four Gospels. Do you think that's important? What are we to pray for? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What if we really embrace becoming a house of prayer? I encourage you, don't wait for me to call a prayer meeting. Reach out to your brothers and sisters in the congregation. If you've got a need, call somebody. Call somebody and say, hey, I've got something going on at work. Would you pray with me? I've got a doctor's appointment. Would you pray with me? My child has a test this week they're really nervous about. Would you pray with me? They're having trouble on their job. Would you pray with me? Be family. Let the house of prayer be where you are. And I encourage you, make your house a house of prayer. See, that word house, when I looked at it both in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it is a dwelling place, a habitation. I want all of our houses, and I want this house to be a dwelling place of the Most High God. I want our house, wherever your apartment, your room, whatever it is, wherever it is you live, make that place the dwelling place of Almighty God. But do you know how you do that? Is this right here has to be the dwelling place first. That this house, this temple, the presence of the Lord has top priority. That there's not a room in this house that he's not allowed to come in. There's no locked closets where you say, God, that room's too big of a mess. You can't come in there. Do you know what he wants to do with those rooms that are too big of a mess? He wants to come in there with you and clean it out. See, it's not about him coming in going, how did you let that room get such a mess? If he walked into my closet right now, I mean my literal closet, if you did, and yeah, it's not good. But you know, God doesn't walk into my closet and go, how did you let that get such a mess? He comes in and he says, you know, you really don't need this. This is another altar. Is there something that draws you more than the presence of God? It's an altar. Get rid of it. Just repent. Say, God, I need help. Because altars draw you. They will pull you. They will lure you in. But God, I want that closet cleaned out. I want that place of my life cleaned out. Is there something that's occupying more of your thought life, more of your attention than God is? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. See, we all have a lot of all things. We have our list of the things we need, right? We have our list of things we need in our family. We have our list of our things we need in our business, our ministry, and the things that concern us. But the key to all those all things is seek first the kingdom. The house of prayer is a place to seek first the kingdom and bring all those other things into the King. Surrender. That's why it says, I will receive your burnt offerings. Those burnt offerings are an expression of your sacrifice. What does it take to create an altar of prayer or a house of prayer? It takes time, doesn't it? It takes separation. It takes letting go of something else that could occupy that space. It takes prioritizing a moment in time, a place in time. I encourage you, make a place. Make that a priority of your life. It means for us to be a house of prayer, we have to make a space, because God says, I want a prayer time for family. That means I have to make a space, a time, an assignment, that we're going to have a house of prayer dedicated to pray for families. The other one I know that we have to do is to pray for nations. Nations that are in our community and nations. Nations are being weighed in the balance right now. And God has brought the majority of representation of the nations of the world to our community. They're here. We don't have to go. They're here. And so we have to begin to intentionally pray for nations. I said this a few weeks ago, and I challenged you. Ask the Lord for the nation he would have you pray for. I'm going to challenge you again today. What is the nation God wants you to pray for? Years ago, the Lord told me to pray for Japan. And I prayed for Japan faithfully for over 10 years and ended up going. It was my first ministry trip outside of the country. You never know what God will do when you answer his call to pray what he tells you to pray. So we're going to be building a house of prayer for all nations. I foresee prayer groups being raised up. Some of you, God's going to put a burden on your heart, and you're going to go, I need to do this one. And we're going to help you do it. Everyone won't be my assignment, but it's the assignment of the house. So I'll help you do it. Because I want you activated, moving out in the call of God, with every joint supplying what is needed that will cause growth of the whole in love. So would you stand with me? Father, we come today saying we want to truly be a house of prayer. And we want to be joyful in the house of prayer. We want to be a house of prayer for all nations, for all peoples. And Lord, today we set our heart in agreement with heaven, that the priority of all that we do is to be a house of prayer, to seek your face, to seek your kingdom, and know that everything else will be added unto us. Everything else that you've called us to do, you will add it to us out of the place of prayer. We will pray it in according to your good pleasure. And Father, I pray over each one of us that the house of prayer expression in our own hearts and in our homes would be escalated to a new place of glory. Lord, that there would be joy, there would be revelation, there would be wisdom, there would be passion, there would be purity, and yes, Lord, there would be an expression of power. And Lord, even as the house of prayer in this moment, we pray, Father, for all of those that are suffering. Lord, I think of Amy Miller and others that are struggling with COVID and with the after effects, with the pneumonia and other things that are going on. Lord, we come now in the name of Jesus and we bind up the spirit of death. We bind up the assignments of hell. And we declare and decree that you are not finished with Amy and with others yet. Purpose and destiny is not fulfilled. And we stand in the power of covenant and the power of agreement to bring forth the healing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Amy's lungs function properly, that they be supernaturally restored, creative miracle into her lungs now in Jesus' name. Father, for my daughter-in-law's friend Tiffany, we speak divine recovery into her lungs and into all of her body now in Jesus' name, that she will live and proclaim the praises of God. Lord, that both of them and all the others, God, there's so many that we could name, they will live and fulfill the purpose and destiny for which you created them. Lord, that COVID would no longer have its sway over this nation, that the propaganda that is being affiliated with it would not be able to prosper, that healing grace and faith would arise in your people to dispel the fear, shut the door to fear that is an entrance for the disease. We shut it now by faith in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that a supernatural wave of restoration and creative miracles would go across this nation, that would cause the world to be astounded. Father, that every hidden work of darkness that is set to bring death and destruction to the people of God and to the people of this nation would be uncovered, and a divine reversal be released now in Jesus' name as a testimony that Jesus rules and reigns from on high, and he has a people that are filled with faith in the household of prayer. We will stand and we will watch and we will pray and we will see your glory revealed. Let it be, Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, our Lord and our King. Amen. Amen. Keep praying. Keep standing. Keep believing. Giants are falling. Victory is ours. Love you all. We'll see you Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.